Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We don't care where you are. We don't care how you're listening. We don't care when you're listening. We're just glad you're here. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget all the other things you can do at my website. It's a little bit of small business heaven there, ladies and gentlemen. I'm excited about having a new friend on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Leonard Steinberg is with us. He's a friend of a friend. He's a friend of our good friend, Karen Kerrigan's. He's a member of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, as I am. But for his day job, he's a principal of the Steinberg Group. He's also a certified management consultant, and he specializes in nonprofit and small business organizations. His consulting practice concentrates on accounting, financial, and administrative operations and board of director development, which I think is a great thing that small business owners need to focus on. Recently, Leonard testified before Congress. And that's one of the reasons why we've asked him to join us. Leonard, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim, and thank you very much for having me, and a good morning to all of your listeners.
It's good to have you here, Leonard. And let me I want to talk about the content of your testimony, which was about the tax code. We're going to do that real soon, but before we do that, I think my audience would like to hear what it's like to testify before a congressional committee. Now, you testified before before the Small Business Committee, if I'm not mistaken. And Congressman Don Manzullo was there as the chair. And by the way, he was on my show last Thursday during Small Business Week. He's a great guy. He's been on the show many times before. But anyway, what I want you to do is just take us through from the time you basically arrived on the property. You know, all the steps that it took for you to get into the building, to sit down. How long did you have to wait? How do they treat you? That kind of thing. Just give us a flavor for what happened that day.
Very good, very good. Basically, after I was approved to testify, I testified on Wednesday afternoon, April 27th at 2:00 in the afternoon. That's when the committee was to adjourn. Go into session. And basically what happened, everybody comes into the meeting room, which is held in the House office building. The committee has their own hearing room. It is a very large room. All the members of the committee sit in a semicircle up at the front of the room. And then there is the witness table. And the table has as many chairs based upon the number of witnesses that are going to testify.
Were you testifying by yourself?
No, sir. I was one of five people who testify. But I was in the second group to testify. The first group to testify was Commissioner Everson, who gave the IRS's position on the tax code and the tax gap, which is what the essence of the testimony was about.
Right.
And then we had Tom Sullivan, who is the counsel for the Small Business Administration, also testify.
He's chief counsel of Office of Advocacy over
that
the SBA.
That is correct.
And another friend of ours. Go ahead.
That is correct. A great friend of small business.
Yep.
After they both testified, then the second panel, of which I was a member, each of us was given 5 minutes to present our oral testimony, which could be the same as our written testimony, which is now part of the congressional record,
right?
Or it could be different. As it happens, while the other participants were testifying before me, the bell rang in the committee room requesting the committee members to go to the floor of the House for a floor vote.
Right.
And Chairman Manzullo abruptly said, well, Mr. Steinberg, instead of the usual 5 minutes, we're going to give you and the remaining participants 4 minutes.
Oh, no.
So I did not have that extra minute, but as a native New Yorker who now lives and works in the state of New Jersey, we tend to learn how to speak fast very quickly up here. And I tried to get as much in the 4 minutes as possible, as did the person who came after me. But Chairman Manzullo did something extremely unique, which in my opinion shows you his advocacy for the small business.
Tell you what, Leonard, I'm going to let you tell us that on the other side of these messages. We're going to find out what Congressman Manzullo did. And if I know Congressman Manzullo, it was probably a pretty classy thing to do. And we're going to do that right after these messages. We'll be right back with our new friend, Leonard Steinberg. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's Jimi Hendrix on vocals. Classic. Classic. Leonard Steinberg is our guest. He's a classic, too. He's principal of the Steinberg Group, and he's telling us about his testimony before Congress. We're just about to wrap up that part of it, I think, and then we're going to move on to the content. But, Leonard, you were telling us that in the last, at the last minute, virtually, you were given not 5 minutes, which you were originally promised, but 4 minutes, which meant you had to compress your all these. I mean, you'd already cut every word possible out of your testimony, and you were down to just the absolute most perfect and most important words. And now they're telling you can't even say all of those. That must have hurt your feelings a little bit.
No, it didn't, because remember, I'm dealing with members of Congress.
Well, and remember, you're from New York, so that's another.
Yeah, that's true.
You were telling us that Congressman Manzullo, Chairman Manzullo, did something just before you spoke.
Yes. As he was leaving to go to the floor to vote, he said to all of the remaining participants that he would be back in 15 to 20 minutes because he wanted to have a quote-unquote, a town hall meeting, and he wanted to hear more about our testimony. So those who decided to stay stayed, and sure enough, he was good to his word. In about between 15 and 20 minutes, he returned, and he returned alone. The other members of the committee were not present.
Mm-hmm.
And true to his word, he came back and he convened his town hall meeting, but it was very, very unique because instead of sitting up at his chairman's chair, he sat directly across from the witness table,
mm-hmm.
as if to have a conversation with him.
Right. He's that kind of guy.
And he then spent the next hour, that 60 minutes
wow.
of his time, speaking to each one of the participants to get more information about our testimony, how we arrived at it, what our thoughts were regarding the tax code, its complexity, more about our testimony, and his questions were very pertinent. They were very accurate in what he was trying to educe from us, to get from us regarding information, and he was extremely knowledgeable about
right.
the subject that we were to testify.
He takes small business very seriously. Leonard, did you actually give your testimony?
Well, yes, I gave my oral testimony, which was somewhat different than my written testimony.
But they weren't there when you did it.
Or were they there? Not there.
They had gone. You gave your testimony after they left.
No, sir. Oh. I had given my 4 minutes.
Oh, you already had given that.
I had given 4 minutes.
That's good. So you got to do it in front of them. That's the main thing. Let's talk about the content. Now, you were there. The IRS has identified something called a tax gap. Now, define that for us.
All right. The tax gap is the difference between what the IRS collects and what the IRS could collect if everyone filed their taxes and paid their taxes accurately.
I prefer to think of it this way. It's the difference between what they collect and what they think they should collect.
Well, what they should collect is 100% of everybody's income.
That's what I'm saying. That's their idea. But the truth is that it seems that they've identified a little bit of a boogeyman in the form of small business as being the culprit for the tax gap. And you took issue with that in your testimony, didn't you?
Yes, I most certainly did. The amount of burden that is put on the small business person, and I'm a small businessman myself, is just extraordinary. From the types of rules and regulations we have to follow to run our businesses, from the time we get up in the morning till the time we close the doors on our business at night, and even those of us that are small businesses, you know, you work just about 24/7 with just a few breaks when they're absolutely necessary.
And you get paid if there's anything left over. Sometimes.
Well, at least you hope there's something.
You hope to,
over.
Yeah.
All right. And basically, Commissioner Everson had a great deal of statistics showing that most of the tax gap is caused by sole proprietors and small business people. And I took exception to that only for the simple reason, as did Chairman Manzullo, because Chairman Manzullo, in my opinion, was quite pointed in his questions to Commissioner Everson in that why go after the sole proprietors and the small business people when he's really not going after what is called the corporation types or forms that are the C-corps as opposed to the S-corps or the limited liability corporations.
Right.
And so his questions were quite pointed.
Commissioner Everson say about that?
The commissioner said that the IRS is trying to, while it's trying to do both, to reduce burden on the small business person, it's really trying to increase compliance by the small business person in order to have everyone, quote-unquote, pay their fair share. And to me, those are words that are quite hollow, because what does it mean to pay one's fair share?
Right. Especially,
here again, the statistics tell us, and I'm sure your audience is quite aware of it, that ranked by adjusted gross income, the top 5% of income people, which is, according to the IRS, approximately $126,000 of adjusted gross income, they pay well over 50% of all the taxes paid.
Leonard, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're talking with Leonard Steinberg. He testified before Congress at the request of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. And he and I will be right back. We got more to come after these messages. It's 10 till. Mr. Al Green, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm so tired of being alone.
Actually,
so tired of being
Reverend Al Green, I should say. Leonard Steinberg is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Leonard and I are talking about his testimony before Congress where he went toe-to-toe, best two falls out of three, with the commissioner of the IRS trying to refute the commissioner's notion and the IRS's proposal that small business owners are to blame somehow for the tax gap. And Leonard, I want to congratulate you on being such a strong advocate for your brothers and sisters out here in small business land.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. I appreciate that. And basically, my testimony comprised of the following topics, and with your permission, I'll go into the topics. One was the complexity of the tax code. The second part was the effect of the alternative minimum tax.
Mm-hmm.
The third was people running cash businesses, and many small businesses do run a cash basis business. The lack of understanding of the tax law, and finally, the issue of people using unlicensed and unenrolled preparers, and I will talk about that. Under the complexity of the tax code, as we both know, in 1986, there was the last major revision prior to this latest revision in 2004.
Right.
the tax code underwent a severe changes that basically simplified the tax code. But since then, the tax code has gotten...
Using the term simplified in a loosely, right?
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. And has simplified the tax... at that point, he tried to simplify the tax code. But over the years, since 1986, it has become even more complex. The... as an example for your listeners, back in 1985, if they're filling out their standard 1040, there were only 52 pages to the booklet.
Right.
And in 2004, there were 128 pages to the booklet.
Yeah.
Just for the 1040. But getting back to small businesses, the complexity is as follows, and I gave this particular case to the committee. There are many organizations that will create limited liability corporations, and these are created by the individual states as a way of ensuring that the owner is separated from his personal life.
Right.
However, according to the IRS, because of the complexity of the code, if you are a single-person limited liability corporation, the IRS considers you a sole proprietor.
Right.
If you are a two-person limited liability corporation, the IRS considers you a partnership.
A partnership,
and as
right.
we both know, if right. you're in a partnership, each partner has 100% liability.
Jointly and
so
severally.
Here again, the concept of the limited liability corporation falls by the wayside under IRS rules and regulations.
Right. Well, and by the way, the correct term, pardon me, I know you probably mean to say this, the correct term is actually a limited liability company, because an LLC actually is not a corporation, but that's just a small point. But the thing is you're exactly right. And the other thing is there's some question about whether in that case that you're talking about, those people should pay payroll tax on the profits.
Well, that's exactly the case. And what Commissioner Everson felt, or what he tried to bring up with statistics, was that the payroll tax is the primary, for these small business people, is the primary area of noncompliance.
Right.
Because of the fact they either don't pay their payroll tax on time, or they don't pay their payroll tax at all. And I'm sure that with many people either paying quarterly estimated taxes,
right.
That sometimes in the cash flow of their business, it becomes an undue burden. Remember that the small business person or a single entrepreneur must pay both sides of Social Security.
Right. Well, Barry, we got about 30. I mean, Leonard, we got about 30 seconds. One of the main things you were pointing out was because of the alternative minimum tax, because of the complexity, because of the unfair burden that it places on small business owners, this creates an extra challenge for small businesses that can contribute to the tax gap. And you proposed, as I understand it, that we work hard to make the tax code more fair and less complex.
That is correct. I mean, I myself am an advocate of the flat tax because I think
right.
it is the best way to handle it, but between greater education from the IRS and making the code much more simplified,
right.
that I think we will get greater compliance.
Thank you, Barry, for being here. Leonard Steinberg, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest, and I'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.